Wake the neighbors and phone the kids. It's about time for WSLM's newest show. Get ready for Kentuckiana Sports Talk, the biggest and only local sports talk show in Kentuckiana. Focusing on Southern Indiana and Kentucky high school sports, regional college sports, and national sports news. If you want to talk to the KST guys, George Browning and Blair Thompson, call the KST Talk Line at 812-883-3401. Keep your comments brief and to the point, or Becky will throw a flag and take you out of the game. And now we go into Studio A inside the Pinewood Studios of WSLM for Kentuckiana Sports Talk with George and Blair.
9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Get ready for Kentuckiana Sports Talk.
Hey, good Monday evening to everybody. We got a little bit of everything for you on Radio Ridge. We got some Jesus going on out on the front lawn. We got some revival happening. If you want to come and get filled up with the spirit, come on out. It's a great night for it. It's a little warm. And we got sports talk. If you want to stay home in your living room under the air conditioning, Blair, that's a good night to have the remote in hand. After we go off the air, you want to watch a little tube, listen to a little Delilah, catch the Reds. It's a good night to just soak up the air. The summer days are drawing fewer and fewer. So catch what's going on WSLM. How are you tonight?
The heat index tonight at practice was 98. And let me tell you, I didn't feel it at all.
You didn't feel it at all?
No. I told the kids, I was like, man, it's cold out here. You know? Yeah, no, that didn't happen. Way hot tonight. I went home, straight home, cold shower. I'm getting too old for this, George.
I thought maybe you had the racehorse effect going on. You know, once you, once you get that layer of sweat all over the body, you kind of cool down and have that air conditioning that God gave you.
I sweat walking up the stairs. So, I mean, you know, I told the kids, I was like, we just got to try to, you know, we got to be in the right mindset. We got a game on Saturday, our first middle school game on Saturday. So,
nice.
We are trying to get in game shape and mind of a game shape, if that means anything.
Hey, if you're jonesing for some football, I'm going to give you a plug for that, Blair.
Right.
Battle of the Bridges over at Floyd Central.
Yeah.
If you've never been over to that stadium, I mean, they have really invested in that, Coach Wieglab Stadium, and there's a lot of good middle school football over there. The Salem Lions are going to be going for a pretty big trophy to kick off the season, so talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, we're going down to play. There's five games, starting at 11. We play at 1, and it's five Indiana teams versus five teams from the other side of the river, as you may know, and it's a Battle of Bridge. I'm not thinking about not winning this, but the winners receive actual part of the Sherman Minton Bridge. So when they redid the bridge, they were able to make these trophies out of it, and pretty cool to be able to bring some of that hardware back to Salem. So it's the Indiana teams are us, Hazelwood, Madison, and Highland Hills, which obviously is Floyd Central, and Charlestown. So those are the four teams out of Indiana. So we got invited. You know, hopefully we can go down and represent. I told the kids today, we're not going down to get embarrassed, so we better have a better practice than we did tonight. So hopefully the rest of the week goes a little bit better.
Well, there you go. If you're itching for some football, that's a good chance to go see it. Weather forecast, the weather bird's talking about some pretty good weather after we get this hot spell out of the way. So we'll have some fall-like football weather. Go down and check it out. I think the high school teams, or is it inter-squad week? Or are they playing actual scrimmages on Friday night?
Yeah, this is the scrimmage. You know, inter-squad was last Friday, and I know the Lions had a good night, and then this week they play Madison. I'm not real sure where West Washington goes, but I take care of the Salem guys, so I know we play Madison.
I never really cared a lot about scrimmages. I always knew. Here's a tip for you fans. I've worked in the media for 20 years. If you want to know if you don't go to the scrimmage and you want to know if your team won or lost, you talk to a coach. And if a coach tells you, we don't really keep score in scrimmages, that probably means they lost. But if the coach tells you, if we were keeping score, we probably scored three or four more touchdowns than they did, then they probably won. I've just learned that tip over the years, so just keep that in mind. Just want to give you a little bit about the show tonight. We're going to kick things off with talking about our big story from the weekend. Blair and I will pick what we thought was the biggest sports story from the weekend, and then we got a special guest. I don't want to tip our hat. I put out on Facebook that I gave you two hints. I said he was a former Salem assistant, and he's a current head coach at the varsity football ranks. And there were some guesses that were wrong, and that's okay. And then we're going to get to our big question of the week, which was
top three running backs in Washington County.
We may work this
guy over for his top three before he gets out of here.
And this guy could probably give us some.
I don't know. He's seen a lot of football in Salem and in Washington County, so I don't know if he'll want to put that out there. Some guys don't like to put that out there. He may tell us when we're off the air.
Right. Well, I think this guy will step up and make his pick. So, Blair, kick us off here. What was your big story from the weekend or late last week? What do you think?
Well, for me, I know what you thought I was going to say, but I'm not going there. So, for me, it was what's going on in Columbus, Ohio.
Columbus, Ohio. Wait, I haven't heard. Is there news coming out of Columbus, Ohio these days?
You know I'm a Michigan guy, right? So anything negative that comes out of Columbus, we got to report on. So, yeah, it's big news. I mean, I was looking the other day. Urban's like 71-8. At Ohio State, or that school in Ohio, as we like to refer to it as Michigan fans. But he's in a little hot water, and I don't know if he's going to survive this or not. Ohio State got rid of Coach Tressel when he was having tattoos and selling game jerseys, So basically what happened, one of his assistants got in trouble on a domestic violence case that was reported to Urban's wife. Urban in the Big Ten Big Ten conference press conference said he knew nothing about it, and then yesterday or 2 days ago he comes out and said, "Oh, I knew about it, and I reported it." So I don't know. Some people think that what he said made him look better yesterday, but when you go out in the middle of the conference, in the middle of the Big Ten, and say, "I didn't know anything about this," and now all of a sudden you did and you reported it. I don't know what obviously he was trying to protect his staff, maybe in that situation where he kind of got, kind of got jumped on basically in the conference, press conference, but we'll see how that unfolds, in Columbus.
Yeah. From what I have no reason to not believe Coach Meyer, he said he reported to his boss, and he just didn't handle it well with the media. To me, that's not a fireable offense. If I go to my boss and say, "Hey, this happened, you tell me how to handle it," and then I follow those procedures, okay, I misspoke with the media, that's not a fireable offense to me. Now, some folks have seen it a different way. It'll ultimately be up to the higher-ups at Ohio State. There's some people outside the Ohio State University who are calling for his job,
Well, I wouldn't be. I mean, I wouldn't be sad to see him go. But,
anybody who plays Ohio State would bid him a farewell.
No, so. My take is you're the head coach. You're responsible for everything that happens inside your program, whether that's with your staff, with your players, anybody that's associated with your staff. And this is a major offense. I mean, this is the second time we know of that one of his staff members has had a domestic violence charge on his wife. Well, not charge, excuse me, accusation on his wife once when she was pregnant.
Sure.
And they have all the text messages and everything to go back through. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. I'd probably say he keeps his job just because of where it's at and who he is. But I also thought Coach Paterno would keep his job at Penn State too.
Sure.
And it was basically the same thing. He was reported and he didn't tell anybody about it. If Urban comes down where he didn't tell his people he should have, then we'll see what happens. But interesting, and don't worry, we'll keep a close eye out of that for all of us Michigan fans on how that turns out.
Absolutely. And to me, I don't know. Does it one more question on this before we move on. Does it matter at all that the guy was never charged? I mean, accusations are one thing, but domestic violence, and I know we tread lightly when we talk about this because But at some point, you know, the legal, the law didn't see enough evidence to charge the guy. And you can't go to the prosecutor and say, hey, I don't want to press charges, right, because that doesn't come to the table. Once you, right, make that accusation, it's up to them whether or not they want to file charges. So, right, ultimately, there aren't any, there was never any arrest made. There were never any charges formally filed. So, to me, that does at least come into the discussion. So, what do you think?
I mean, it's in this day and age, though, I mean, where we're at, you know, we go back to the Papa John situation, right? You know, it was gone the next day, you know.
Absolutely.
Patino at Louisville, gone, you know, cost Jurich and Patino their job. You know, we go up to Indiana last year, you know, and the head coach of Indiana football gets removed for treatment of players, but we knew nothing about it. You know, and it was never brought out at all. And now he's at Ohio State as an offensive coordinator who may end up being the head coach of
Absolutely.
Ohio State.
Right.
So, you know, it'll be interesting to see. It's so hard now to see, you know, with all this. You know, like I said, she has all these text messages where she has sent to Urban's wife. And, you know, the assistant's father said, you know, if you do this, he's never going to have a job again. You're going to ruin his career. Why would you want to do this? People close to Coach Meyer have text messages in their phone where they said, you don't want to do this or he'll never find a job again. So, anyway, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I don't know. I think if anybody could probably get, you know, can probably be okay with it, Coach Meyer is probably the one that, but, you know, let's don't forget, he had Aaron Hernandez on his team at Florida.
That's right.
He had Cam Newton, who stole computers at Florida. You know, he had Pouncey, who's the center for Pittsburgh, the Steelers, who was always in trouble at Florida. So, you know, Coach Meyer has had a track record where, you know, especially that, you know, other than Tim Tebow, who may trump them all, you know, and I think he might have cut them all out of trouble at Florida. But, you know, it's not his first time to have a little altercation. So we'll wait and see.
All right, so Blair wouldn't tell me what his lead story was, his big story, and Becky encouraged him not to. They wanted me to improv. So my big story, I got some candidates. I could talk about Chase Elliott, local boy, wins his first NASCAR race at Watkins Glen. That's a huge story. I could talk about the Ravens beating my Bears. I'm a Bears fan with Lamar Jackson. Some media members thought he had a horrible night. I just love to see him out there playing at the pro level. But Blair, I even got a prop for my big lead story here. I'm going to see if technology works. Can we hear that? Is that a hint for what my big story from the weekend is? My old Kentucky home. We had two golfers. Now, I know the football fanatics and the basketball fans are going to say golf again, but how about it? Justin Thomas wins the PGA event, the Bridgestone, and then Kenny Perry wins the senior PGA event. A couple Kentucky boys tearing up the links this weekend, so that made my Kentucky heart sing a little bit. I'm not sure about Justin. I'm sure, being a St. X grad, he's probably a UK fan, and I know Kenny Perry is, but still a couple Kentucky guys doing well on the PGA Tour, and I thought that was the big story, just having the Kentucky sweep. And it was good to see them do well. But we got to tip our hats to Chase. How about that?
Yeah.
Getting the big win.
Yeah, that's, you know, his, you know, Chase's father, Bill, was, you know, was one of the up-and-coming stars in NASCAR in the 80s and 90s and has a huge following. You know, they called him Awesome Bill from Dawsonville. And, you know, for Elliott to take care of that this weekend, it was awesome to see. And you saw all the older NASCAR guys, you know, all excited about it on social media about, you know, here, you know, this kid who they've watched grow up. I saw a picture of Chase Elliott in Dale Earnhardt's lap as a three-year-old, you know, and just it's really cool to see that, you know, that happen. So, yeah, for sure, good week for racing, for sure.
Racing royalty, we could call him. He certainly is in the line.
Well, while we're on racing real quick, I don't know if you saw this or not, but the NASCAR CEO got arrested today for drunk driving and had oxycodone in his car. So it'll be interesting to see if Mr. France, if we don't have a new direction in NASCAR as well. So I feel like there's some, you know, we need some get some positive news in here. I feel like right now we're on all this negative stuff. So, but yeah, so that's another big news out of NASCAR as well.
All right. Well, speaking of positive news, I think we got some
That's a good segue, isn't it? Right.
We've been plugging our guest here on air all day on Facebook or social media pages. We have Coach Aaron Humphrey with the Cordon Central Panthers here in studio tonight talking a little football. Coach, are you so enveloped in football, or do you have a big story from the weekend, or have you just been so wrapped up with getting things ready for kickoff 2018 that you just haven't had a chance to see what's going on in the sports world?
Well, I would definitely say my big story would be our black and gold scrimmage.
I like that.
Well, how'd that go for you? Were you able to glean some good, bad, and the ugly out of that?
Oh, yeah. This time of year, it's just about getting some film down and finding correctable mistakes that we can come back to work with on Monday.
All right. So how's the summer been up in Cordon?
We've had a really good summer and had a great off season. Coach Timberlake did a great job with our strength training program all winter, and you know, we had huge gains in the off season, and it, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword. One, shows how weak we were last year, but we've made huge gains.
Mm. And now I know last year didn't go the way you wanted to. You kind of a rebuild year for you. When you think about this year moving in from a season that you wouldn't call successful, do you think about the step that you'd like to see make? I mean, do you think at all in terms of that, or what's kind of the goal moving in from 17 to 18 as a head coach?
Well, I think a lot of it's just the culture. And, you know, we've got and we're starting to learn how to work. You know, there's no shortcuts in high school football to winning. And, you know, we're starting to learn how to work, you know, and just train and condition. And once we embrace that process, then the wins will start coming.
All right. Tell us about some kids you got. I know when we teams play, fans always ask me, hey, George, who do they got? Who should we be looking for on Friday night? Who's some kids you got coming back who's going to contribute for you?
Noah Wendell's our quarterback, and, you know, he's going to lead us offensively. And then Zach Wiley's a three-year starter on the offensive line. And then Alex Lee is another starter at wideout and kind of DB. And those are our three guys that will be captains this year that have done a great job this summer leading them. And, you know, they're guys that want to change the culture and get Cordon football back to where it was, you know, just a few years ago.
Now, Wendell's one of those legacy names. Is he the little brother of another Wendell we know from up there?
Yes, he is. He's the twins' little brother. And, you know, he's a true competitor. He's a different type of player than they were. You know, he's quarterback, and where those guys were backs and linebackers. And, you know, he'll play some DB for us too also. But, you know, he does a great job. He's as hard a worker as we've got on the team and leads by example and by voice.
Well, I was thinking, Coach, about your rivalries. You know, when we think about our local rivalries here in Washington County, and, you know, people give Eastern a little bit of a pass because they're so new at football, but Salem and West Washington, and I know West Washington's won a few more trophies of late with sectionals and conference championships, but for the most part, we got comparable programs. Salem and West Washington are both successful programs, but you guys have kind of been in the rebuild for the past few years, and North Harrison's kind of been living high on the hog. Does that add pressure to you when you're at a place like Cordon? Because fans are so, they work together, they go to church together, and they're giving each other a hard time, and they want to see you guys kind of rebuild faster than maybe they would normally if you didn't have that so close to home.
Right. I was away from the Mid-Southern Conference for 2 years, and you could tell North Harrison was moving in the right direction, but just in those 2 years, you know, they became a conference champ, and then mm-hmm. and then again last year had a great run and a great season and won the conference. And, you know, it's that third week of this, our third week, it's for the Big Cat Classic, and there's a trophy, and if you can't get pumped for it, then you don't need to show up on that Friday night.
Coach Thompson, I know you did. RJ give you some scouting questions to ask while we're
no, I mean, you gotta remember that this guy coached Coach Hartsfield.
That's
so
right.
You know, he may be calling and asking for tips. I don't know, you know, but I think, you know, when we talked earlier, you know, when he was talking about what Cordon's doing, you know, one of the things for me personally, you know, I coached the junior high team, excuse me, here at Salem, and you know, when all the teams we played last year, the middle school Cordon team was the best coached, They knew what they were doing. They had a ton of kids, and they have an eighth grade team. I know for sure coming up. It was our freshmen now that were extremely talented, and you can really tell. I think that's the thing, George. When you can tell that Coach Humphrey had put his stamp on it when it was all the way down from the middle school up. And Coach, you want to talk about your middle school guys and what they got going on down there?
Yeah, they've done a great job last year. I've got R.J. Snyder and Josh Newton and Steve Wolf's there now. But, they're an extension of our varsity program. And, I've got a great staff. Made a couple of great additions, and Joby Turner from Clarksville was the head coach at Clarksville.
Right.
He's now helping, and Jason Timberlake. There's two guys on my staff that were head coaches.
Right. Yeah.
And Chris Bales, Nathan McAfee, a new addition, Brady Oberholzer. He played out in North Dakota State, and then a couple of young guys. I got three guys that were off our semi-state team in 2011 with Lucas and Jeremiah Wendell and Greg Carver, and then also Kevin Brooks and Cameron Ayers. Mm-hmm. So we've made some huge additions to our staff, and we want to be learning that verbiage at the middle school level so it transitions straight to the high school level.
Yeah, we got the Gordon guys came up and played in our spring middle school football game this year, and they had spring ball as well. And I think one of the questions that I had for Coach, and I don't want to, if he was going to go ahead there, George, but Coach, you coached under Coach Motzinger, you coached under Coach Ward, and you were there with Coach Ralston. What can you tell us that you've taken from maybe one of those guys or all those guys, or is there something that kind of stands out? I mean, I know Coach Ward and Coach Motz, Coach Motz is real laid back. Coach Ward can be laid back, but then he can get pretty fired up as well. Especially those two guys, those are the two guys that you've been assistant under for a long time, and what you took with you when you went to be the head coach.
Well, I think that's, I've been very, very blessed to get to work for two great head coaches. Coach Motz, when I was at Salem, we had a great football staff, and it shows. A lot of us have went on to become head coaches, and I know, George, you did an article about that last spring. And then with Coach Ward, he was a great, great leader, great program guy. And, we ended up winning two sectionals and a regional together. And, those guys are different, but it's the same. just how the game's played. You win and lose football games on the offense and defensive line and just play good, hard-nosed, physical football.
Absolutely. Coach is referring to, at one point we had Coach Mullis on the staff at Salem, Coach Motzinger. We had
Coach Lowry.
Coach Lowry, Coach Motzinger himself.
Right.
Hartsfield was a player on that team.
Right. Luke Dean played for Coach Motzinger.
Luke Dean was in the early years of that group, and just all of those guys are now head coaches or have been head coaches. Right. Did you get a sense of that, Coach, when you were part of that? I mean, it's almost like, on a much smaller scale, but a Belichick who has this coaching tree. but you see these coaching trees develop where people that are just around it have that desire and that ability to just go on and be leaders of young men.
Well, there's no doubt. I think, we were young and hardworking, but the credit goes to Coach Motz because he let us coach.
Mm-hmm.
He let us go coach our positions and take ownership in it. And, if you went to him with an idea, he was going to let you try it. And all the credit goes to him. He was a great head coach around here, and did a great job for several years and developed, great young coaches.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I was a young guy right out of college, and I got to be around all these guys, and I just sit there and listen. That's what I got to do. But it's so much fun now to know that we got people on that staff that are all over doing good things, and one of the things that you can always tell about a program is what they're doing in the weight room. And, you know, you can keep, you know, I kept track of these guys all off season. And, you know, Coach Humphrey and Coach Timberlake, who was as great as a guy you're ever going to meet, who was a head coach as well, you know, is down there in the weight room. And there's not anybody that knows that stuff better than he does. And, you know, just you could constantly see, you know, it's 7 o'clock in the morning and or 6 o'clock in the morning. You know, these guys are a lot of kids going down and doing their workouts. And when you get kids to buy into that stuff and they want to get better, you just know that that's going to show, you know, that's going to show on the field on Friday nights.
Yeah, I'll say back in the day where we're talking about when those guys were on staff, I would love to just go out in the summer and not even be really doing any interviews and just hang out and watch because it was hard work. It was hot. I remember the kids were running the hill there behind Brady Shrum, and everybody was just having fun while getting better and while working hard. And that, to me, when you can do that, when you can make hard work fun, that's you've really figured something out. And Salem, obviously, it showed on the field because you guys were competing for Mid-Southern Conference championships and really in the thick of the sectional battles and you know, competing for championships, and that's what you want to do at the varsity level.
Coach, who do you guys play in the non-conference? What game do you have this year?
We've got Paoli week two. Yeah, we kind of open up. You know, there's no gimmies in the Mid-Southern Conference, and you better bring your A game week in and week out. But we open up with Brownstown week one, then play Paoli week two, which we know they're going to – both those teams are very, very well-coached football teams. And then week three, we got North Harrison. Mm-hmm. So –
those
first
gate.
3 weeks,
right.
Yeah, you better be on your A game.
Well, that's a conversation I have with a lot of fans, whether it's at a local barber shop or wherever you're talking football with people here in Washington County. And I tell you, if you haven't checked out our Facebook page, Kentuckiana Sports Talk, it's generating a lot of buzz. I mean, this week when we were talking about running backs, at one point I saw 2,500 views of people just checking it out and commenting. And
it got pretty interesting, didn't it?
You know? It's a lot of fun to see that much buzz. But when I'm talking to fans, I say, hey, let's keep in mind, and you're in this boat at Cordon, just kind of like Salem is and Eastern is. That, you know, you'd said it. You play Paoli and Brownstown and North Harrison. You could be 0-3 and have a pretty good football team. Mm-hmm. You know, you just because you've played this monster schedule,
right?
You really can't go by wins and losses to judge at that point how good you really are.
Right, I agree. You know, especially like our team we've got this year, what I'm really excited about is they're a young football team that is going to continue to get better and better as the season goes on. Where, you know, there's years you come into a season, like right now, you know, we're 2 weeks away from the first game, but you know the hand you're dealt. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're a senior-oriented club, you're not going to get a lot of improvement throughout the season. And I think that's what's really exciting about our team. We're going to, you know, there's a lot of sophomores starting, a lot of juniors starting. We've got, you know, we've only got 9 seniors, mm-hmm. and 4 of those are new to football this year. So, you know, we don't have a great amount of experience, but what I love about our team is they're learning how to work, and you can see that improvement just in a little over a week of practice.
Is that the thing you cling to, Coach, when you're rebuilding a program, is those little improvements, like doing the little things better, improving in those fundamental type areas, and not get so caught up in that the conference standings or those wins and losses, so to speak, just looking at individual players getting better and really as a team, did we improve this Friday night?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we talk about, you know, as an individual, if we talk about on a daily basis, just do your job. Mm. And if you do your job and all 11 guys do their job, it ought to be a pretty successful football play for us. And you got to, you know, that old saying, you got to crawl before you walk. And that's kind of, you know, where we're at. Just do your job on every play and then get to the next play. And so our kids are doing a good job of that right now.
That's it'll be here before we know it. We have scrimmages this Friday, and then it's showtime. Mm-hmm. The curtain gets pulled back and things get underway. Just remind you, here in Washington County, we have the coaches show getting started. Next week, not this Wednesday, but the Wednesday after, Bubba will be talking to all 3 of the local coaches. You know, we got 2 Mid-Southern Conference teams here in Washington County, so we don't mean to ignore the PLAC here in the preseason, but we only really have the 1 PLAC team, West Washington, and the Senators are kind of in the shape you guys are. They're talented but young, And Bubba's going to be talking to all three of our local coaches to talk about the upcoming season. So we wanted to get some of the outskirt coaches in here to talk about what they have. I want to remind you that after our show tonight, we got the Reds on 1220 AM. The Cincinnati Reds are in a two-game losing streak. They got Homer Bailey on the bump tonight, though. Maybe Homer up from Louisville a few weeks back. Maybe he'll get things turned around.
Get his money's worth tonight.
Get his money's worth as going against Syndergaard, though. It's going to be a tough call against the Mets. But, hey, the Reds certainly have the offense to do it. So tune into them 1220 a.m. after the show. Delilah is on the FM network.
That's
so
what you'll be on.
Tune in there. Hey, I got the Kleenexes in the car. She can bring me to tears.
Coach
now.
Humphrey might be on Delilah on the way home. On the way back to Corden. What do you think?
Listening to some Delilah.
Hey, I highly doubt that.
Another reminder, Thursday night, we got the Colts here on WSLM. They're playing the Seattle Seahawks. How the mighty have fallen. You know, they went from Super Bowl contenders every year, and a lot of guys have left. It'll be interesting to see what the Seahawks do with kind of a whole revamped roster. I know they still got Russell Wilson and Coach Carroll, but just a reminder, they'll be on the air here Thursday night. I looked up, did some studying on Andrew Luck. He's continuing to progress. Looks like he's a goal for week one. The Colts are definitely a playoff contender with Luck under center. So, and a great article today I read about the backup, Jacoby Brissett, as
he was supposed to be the hot ticket, yeah. So we'll see. Didn't look so hot last year, but you know, maybe this is the year for him. You know, so
you put a lipstick on a pig, it's still a pig, right? So we have to see that in preseason to see if he's improved a little bit. But anyway, just your home for football in Washington County and really Kentuckiana is WSLM, IU football, Purdue football, the Colts, all the local teams. You want to hear Coach Humphrey's Corden Panthers when they play Eastern and Salem, tune in to WSLM. We got wall-to-wall football. So, Coach Humphrey, we always like to talk to coaches about the conference. North was in contention last year. North won it.
Right.
Silver Creek gave them all they could handle. Brownstown was right there. Used to be a one- or two-horse race, but it's pretty top-heavy now with four legitimate teams that could win conference and maybe another one or two that could certainly jump up and get those leaders on a Friday night.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think back to like the Mid-Southern Conference through the late 80s and early 90s, and it was Salem, Charlestown, Clarksville. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now there's not a gimme on the schedule, and the Mid-Southern Conference is going to go through Brownstown and right. North Harrison. And, you know, Silver Creek, they're the biggest school in the conference. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they've just by sheer numbers, you know, they're going to have more athletes probably than everybody else. So, you know, you got those three. I expect Salem to be right up there in the mix. I think they could be a bit of a surprise team. We're going to be better. Charlestown's going to be better. I mean, I think last year was the first time they were under 500
forever
with Coach Hawkins. So, you know, that's not a trend. You know, right. He's going to get that fixed. And, you know, Clarksville's got a new coach. And you'd like to think things there is going to turn around also.
A little unrest in Clarksville land. They've changed the helmet. You know, the Wolverine stripe is gone. You talk about some traditionalists. They were raising some cane down there.
Yeah, it's the best-looking helmet in football, George. I mean, I don't know why they would want to do that, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe an alternate sticker or something. I think you got to keep the
– I mean, it sure beats that chrome red your team has. So I don't know about
I
that.
I think that's the most beautiful outside of
Hey, have you seen these guys? Hey, talk about helmets.
Those helmets are beautiful.
Have you seen these guys' helmets?
I haven't seen them yet.
Flat black.
Nice.
Flat black, and that gold looks really good. Yeah, I tried to get Coach Motz to go flat black for 15 years, and then Coach Humphrey, year one, boom, right out the gate. So, man, they're all Under Armour, uniforms down there, and flat black helmets. Hey, it's a pretty awesome-looking uniform. That's something the kids definitely get excited about for sure.
Well, we got Coach Humphrey here. Coach, are you in a hurry? You going to stick around for a while?
No, I don't have anything to do.
We got we're going to give away some Bats tickets. So we got a trivia question. I got one, Blair. I don't know if you have a trivia question tonight. I want to give you a soft toss. If you don't win this trivia question, I'm just going to speak frankly. You don't deserve to win these tickets. I'm going to say a former running back who is a current Salem head football coach. If you can tell me who a former Salem running back who currently coaches the Salem Lions I'll give you four Bats tickets if you want to call 812-883-3401. Give us a call. 812-883-3401. Give us a call. Tell me who used to run the football for the Salem Lions, who now currently coaches, and you can win you four Bats tickets. There's still some good games left. And don't forget, the September call-ups are going to be coming soon, so you're going to see some major leaguers. The Bats have some talented young players that are going to be called up for the Reds. So give us a call if you have a question for Coach Humphrey. I'm sure he'll field it as long as it's in bounds. He'll answer it if he can. And if you have anything for Blair and I, we're going to be talking about the question of the week, too. So if you want to chime in on that, disagree with us, or tell us how we got it right or wrong, we'd love to hear. I know you haven't heard them yet, but you're going to in a few minutes. So we'll get started with that. Blair, I got to tell you, I'll admit when I think we were wrong. Uh-oh, we got a caller here. Let's see. Maybe a trivia answer. All right, you're on the air. Who do we have?
RJ.
Well, now, is this RJ? Who is this? Who are we talking to? Tell me your name.
Tom Brevin.
All right, so you got an answer for the trivia question.
It's RJ.
RJ, you got them. You got four Bats tickets. Are you excited?
Oh, yes, I am.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner. No chicken dinner, really. We're going to give you tickets.
Okay, I'll take some tickets then.
All right, you got a question for Coach Humphrey?
Well, I hope it has a good look for football season this year.
Well, we appreciate it. We appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Now, are you wishing him the luck even when they play Salem?
No. We don't wish him good luck on that.
Oh, now, come on.
Not on that night. Not on the night. All right, I told you it was an easy trivia question. Was that pretty easy for you?
That was pretty easy.
All right. Well, we thank you for calling. You got who you think the best running back you've ever seen in Washington County? Who's the best running back you've ever seen?
Well, that'd be a little hard to say. There's so many out there.
There sure are. We got to make our picks, though, so you might as well just throw it out there if you got one.
Well, I was thinking of, I don't know what his name was, but his Sam owned the Sam Cheese Company.
Spicers.
Brent Spicer?
Was that Brent Spicer?
Yeah, I think that's the one I was thinking of.
All right. Well, there you go. We have our first one out there.
Mr. Blevins and Jamie Richardson agree. They're the same
yeah,
one there.
Yeah, there you go. You got a few people on social media agreeing with you. So, all right. We've had the gauntlet thrown down. We have our first one. We thank you. Stop by here at WSLM and get your Bats tickets, and we'll see if we can come up with more trivia questions. We want to give those tickets away and have people go out and root for the Bats here. Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye, bud.
See ya. All right, Coach, good luck when you're not playing the Lions. I think you hear that a lot in Washington County. We root for you, but as long as you're not playing the locals. Anyway, I was saying, I think we could have revamped it. I'm going to say Roger Burton was saying he would have liked to have seen us say the best three at each school individually, and of course Eastern may not have, you know, anybody that could really even crack the top three. I told him I don't know if I agree with that. I had to do some diving in, but I kind of like that idea too. But hey, I think when you're picking a top three, you got to make some hard decisions.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's going to be something that you know, you have to have your own criteria, you know, and it's your top three, you know, and I think that's something that, you know, we try to put out there. And you know, that's the whole point of this whole show is, you know, for you to be able to voice your opinion, for you to be able to say what you want. And we got a lot of traffic this week, and I haven't even said mine yet, so we'll see how that works out.
Absolutely. If you haven't chimed in, you want to, you can give us a call, 812-883-3401, or you can go to Kentuckiana Sports Talk on Facebook, or you can follow us on Twitter and put your picks there. Had a few people say there, if you pick anybody that was the best running back in Washington County named not Landon McFeeters, you're making a mistake. I threw down the gauntlet, so you can say that. Hey, we got the Senator Salem rivalry going on right here in our top question of the week. So this is fun stuff. You can go to either one of those outlets. You can call in tonight to debate. You want me to kick things off? I know you've gone first quite a bit.
Sure. I will defer to the second half.
Now, I wasn't going to let you. I wasn't going to use my rule of not picking because you just can't. I mean,
yeah.
I'm
with you.
There's a number one for me, and I can, if we had to have seen him play, I moved here in 2001, so There's only one number one for me, and that starts with Salem's current head coach. He had the heart, the desire to win. He was a great teammate, Coach Hartsfield. When he ran the football, it was fun to watch. And just the kind of kid you love to watch play. And number two for me would have been Dylan Conrad at West Washington. Again, a team guy, a workhorse, ran the ball in an offense that was geared to run the ball, so right. Defenses were geared to stop the run.
Yeah.
So sure, his stats weren't comparable to some of the more flashy backs. And then number three for me would have been certainly McFeeters in the last 18 years. Mm-hmm. And it was tough because there's so many good backs, but that would have been my top three: RJ, Dylan Conrad, and Landon McFeeters. So. There you go.
I think you can start a team with any one of those. And I think Coach Humphrey would probably take any one of those, you know, if he was starting a team, you know, as well. So I think, you know, all three of those, like I said, the thing about all three of those guys were they were gamers, you know, and they wanted to – they always played hard and they always, you know, it – the game kind of rested on their shoulders every night. So, you know, that's a lot to ask for a high school kid to know that, you know, either you get it done or we don't win, you know. And so that's particularly a pretty good list there.
I don't know if you've heard, but I had a great RJ story. I think we were playing in a sectional at Brown County, Coach. You were on the staff, I believe, at the time. And RJ got dinged up pretty good. He was concussed. Brian Opal was the trainer at the time.
And it was Batesville.
Batesville. Yeah. And, of course, Mr. Opal asked him what day it was, and RJ said Wednesday. And one of the coaches said, hey, RJ may get that wrong with a clear head. But he was done for the game, and really I thought we may have beat Batesville that night. We didn't have RJ for the whole second half, and just really our offense wasn't the same without RJ in there. So
yeah, the crazy thing about that was he got that hit on defense. So he intercepted a pass and got hit on defense. So we always kind of throw that out there that, you know, he might have got a concussion playing defense, and all the time he'd run the ball, we weren't sure there was anything up there, you know. So then he got a concussion when he was running. So Coach Humphrey going to go next on this list, or are we going to throw it to him or what?
Well, I've got to just stick with Salem if I'm going to give a list, because to be able to evaluate West Washington, I would have only seen them one game a year. But from a Salem standpoint, and three guys, and, you know, I'm with some of those others when you were talking about, there's been a ton of great backs go through this. But I would say maybe my criteria is, if it's fourth and one, who you sticking the ball in their belly to go get the first down. And I think I'll go by age maybe. I'd have to say Steve Modlin's right up there, Josh Moll, and then R.J. Hartsfield. Mm. But there's been a ton of backs go through here. They were all great backs through the 80s, 90s, and up to now.
Now, Coach, I didn't get a chance to see Modlin run the football, but when I was covering R.J., a lot of people told me they the dog in them both was kind of similar, that R.J. and Modlin both had – they both had that same kind of dog. If you need a yard, they may not get it, but they're going to give you everything they got to get it.
Right. And which, you know, I was young watching Steve play, but I coached with Steve and know how much a competitor he was as a coach. And, you know, that transitioned to when he was coaching running backs and probably helped give some of that drive to RJ and some of those other younger guys at that point in time.
Yeah, a lot of people forget, you know, he was also on that staff under Coach Monsinger as well. So, you know, not only did he have, you know, two former head coaches, three with Coach Mullis, I guess. He's not head coach right now. But he also had, you know, Steve also on that staff as well. So, I mean, it was – and John Haven as well. So, you know, you had an excellent, excellent staff there. But those were three good picks. Two of those were on my list of the three. I never remember seeing Steve play because I was too young. But my three, Coach Hartsfield is number one. You know, I pulled up the records here. I mean, he has game, season, career yards, game, season, career touchdowns, season, career and all-purpose yards, and game, season, career, and total points. So, I mean, that's when you look at the list and his name's on everything, that's pretty good. You know, 417 yards in one game, You know, 17 carries in that game is all he had, and of those 17 carries, five were touchdowns. So that's a pretty good night if you're going to say that. But Coach Hartsfield would be my number one. He'd probably kill me if I didn't put him number one, because that's how he is. But anyway, my number two was Josh Mull. Josh was on a team that went undefeated. Questionably one of the best teams we've ever had here. And they lost to an unbelievable Lawrenceburg team in a sectional with a kid named Kelsey Mucker, who had a full ride to go to IU to play football and or baseball and basketball, and could have played football as well, but he ended up getting drafted from the Twins straight out of high school. You know, they were a tremendous, tremendous high school team. And a lot of things about Josh that people don't understand is Josh didn't play a lot in the second half. So, you know, we're talking about yardage and we're talking about stats. You know, he hardly played in the fourth quarter because they were up by 40 every game. And so, you know, he could have had a lot more yards, and he shared a backfield with two other really good backs as well. So, yeah, Josh Mull is my number two. And my third one is Matthew Deaton out of West Washington. And Matthew was a guy that, you know, I told this story on Facebook, but as a freshman, I was a senior, and Matt played guard, because his team needed him to play guard, you know, and that, you know, that's a lesson for you know, anybody out there that wants to be successful or wants to know what it means to be a team. You know, the kid's a running back, has played running back his entire life, but he knew he could get on the field as a freshman if he played on the line. And then he goes on to rush for 2,000 yards as a running back and beats Brownstown twice in that streak. And ended their streak out there, the original streak. And I think, you know, it just goes to show you that, you know, if you're a team player, you know, good things are going to happen to you. And that's just what kind of person he is. So my number three is Matthew Deaton out of West Washington.
Well, man, all these names are solid. And I had to mention my 1A, maybe the best nickname in the 18 years I've been in Washington County. You know, somebody picked him for their top three, Aaron Shockey. I said, hey, I don't know that guy, but I do know a fellow named Spud who ran the ball for Salem. And, man, you give him a crease, he was lightning quick. I used to joke that he and RJ, when they ran together for those few seasons, were thunder and lightning, right? Because Spud was just lightning quick, and then RJ would thunder through. So they were fun to watch. Dylan Conrad and McFeeters were my 1 and 1A for the West Washington backs. And then I got to give Eastern a little bit of love. They only started football there 2007. But if Ryan Tandy's not on any of these lists, he has to be in the discussion,
right?
To do what he did, really, with some of the lines that he had. And that's not to take away from Eastern's lines. They've had good linemen, and even right. when Tandy played, but they just never had the depth. You know, if they had an injury on one of their starting linemen, the next guy in maybe wasn't a quality varsity starter.
Yeah, don't think that we never thought, hey, maybe he can move up to, you know, maybe you can come. I mean, you just live a couple of streets over, Ryan. Come on up, you know. So yeah, we would have definitely taken him any day of the week. And you know, he was, you know, a bull in a china shop. You know, I mean, he had speed, but he was a big dude, a big strong guy, and you know, he talking about getting a yard. I mean, he'd be a guy that you could count on to get you a yard. So yeah, Tandy definitely down at East Washington. And you know, I left a guy off of mine that probably would have been my number four or 3A, and that was the guy that I played with, Brad Hamilton. He was, you know, he had his thing about Brad was he had his biggest games against the biggest teams. You know, Coach Humphrey was talking about Clarksville and talking about Charlestown being the teams to beat in the Mid-Southern Conference in the 90s. Well, Brad went over 200 in every one of those games, you know, and so he didn't talk. He was real, you know, he wasn't like a, you know, he would be the direct opposite of what Coach Hartsfield was. You know, he never said a word, and he wasn't that leader type. But when it came to when the lights came on a big Friday night game, I know in the sectional game here, he had like three carries for 175, you know, and then he got hurt and we had to play, had to hold on. But I mean, and that's, but you know, in a big game, this is when he had his biggest nights. And I think when you're talking about good running backs, you know, you can have a big game because a team that's not very good, you can put up huge numbers.
Sure.
But when you're playing in your biggest games, you know, Coach talked about the windows. You know, when you're playing this, you know, semi-state games, and you're playing regional games, and you're playing sectional final games, you know, those guys put up big numbers. And that, you know, that to me also kind of goes high on this list is, you know, you can put up huge numbers if you're playing a team that's not very good. But for sure, I think you can't not mention him as well. And like Coach said, there's so many of them. We can sit and argue about it all day. And you know, the younger people have their last 10-year people that they think are really good, and then you know the people in the early 90s have theirs, and then the 80s have theirs, you know. So I guess the positive is there's been some good football played in Washington County.
Yeah, I tell you, McFeeters, just a note on him, I was coaching middle school football at Eastern when Landon was a seventh grader, and there was a play that happened right on our sideline right in front of me, and I thought, man, this kid is a seventh grader. I'm a grown man knocking on 300 pounds door, and I wouldn't want to tackle him then. And then to see what kind of a man he became in high school. If you were a middle linebacker and you filled that hole to stop him on a Friday night, there were times that I bet the defense was more sore than he was on a given Saturday morning after playing that young man.
I want to know if Coach Humphrey remembers the sideline Jeffersville incident.
Yeah, I don't know. He was one of the coaches who moved out of the way when I ran over by Brian Masters down there. We were playing the tornado game.
Yeah, remember that? We were playing at Jeff, right? We were playing at Jeff, but we were playing Clarksville.
Clarksville was without power. We were without power, and Jeff had power, so we moved the Salem-Clarksville game to Jeffersonville's field. Blair always brings up old stuff. Painful memories for George here.
George Monta took a shot on the sidelines, and I didn't know if Coach Humphrey remembered that. He would have, you know, I'm sure he would have saved you if he'd have known that was happening.
Yeah, I don't know. The whole team parted like the Red Sea, and there I was to be trucked by, I can at least say that I got a hit on Masters that night. Yeah. I took the worst of it, but.
You may have been the only guy to hit him that
time. Yeah, for sure, yeah.
And you know what's funny? I knew a couple of the Clarksville coaches, too, and got a call Saturday morning, and they said, was that you? Yeah, I said, yeah, did you get the license plate of the truck that ran over me?
Coach Monsinger might have rewound that a couple of times in the film the next day.
I said, what are you doing watching that, Coach Monsinger? You're watching the film for next week, and you're watching that. But that's good stuff. We got a lot on social media. Like I said, we had a lot of buzz. I also want to give one more Eastern kid. I thought Trey Albertson, for his size, really did a good job running the football for Eastern. And they just didn't have the history and the tradition of West Washington and Salem to really, you know, put those guys in those arguments. But they were solid runners. And one more West Washington running back I was going to mention, Ronnie Reagans. When I moved here, one of the first games I covered, he broke his leg right away. Or he ran for 400 and something against North. They used to open the season against North Harrison. And then he either broke his leg late in that game or early in the second game, and then he had to miss the whole season. And he really never ran the football again the way he started out. So I would have liked to have seen a four-year run from that guy. Because he was like a gazelle. It reminded me a lot like Brishaber, the way they ran the ball. It was fun to watch the way they glided with the ball in their hands. So.
Right. Well, and you know, you don't remember these guys, but you know, on the 93 team, the 93 state team, you know, you had Denny Griffiths and Denny Cameron, who were tremendous, quick running backs, and you know, they were the one that broke the streak against Salem. I mean, they, you know, that we had beat them 10 years in a row, 15 years in a row. I mean, it hadn't been close. And, you know, that first game, you know, Denny and the Denny's, and we don't remember what happened in that game too much. But, I mean, you know, Cameron, you know, was great. There was Randy Reynolds, James Clark in that group too. And, you know, these guys that were just pounding, you know, three running backs, you know, in that T offense, and you didn't know where it was coming from. Huge lineman, and it was just one after another. And so, you know, that was some guys that I wanted to mention. And, you know, Jamie mentioned Anthony Hammack, who was a Hall of Famer, mm-hmm. at Rose Holman. You know, Anthony was hurt a lot. His career was hurt. He had some injuries in high school, similar to Trevor Shell. You know, Trevor Shell was 100 yard back his first game, and then he got injured and actually broke his back as a freshman. And, you know, his career kind of got hampered a little bit with injury. But Anthony went on to Rose Holman and had a tremendous career, was a 3- or 4-year All-American at Rose Holman and in Rose Holman's Hall of Fame. So, you know, that he definitely probably is in the mix, but like I said, I feel like his career got better as he went to college. You know, like I feel like what he did in college really kind of overshadows what happened in high school because he had some injuries that kind of set him back.
Absolutely. We were running out of time. We got Coach Humphrey here on the hot seat. If you have any questions, 812-883-3401. You want to look up a few more of those, Blair, on our social media site. I just want to remind our listeners that the Reds are coming up after our show tonight on 1220 AM. We have Delilah on 97.9 FM. We're back next Monday night here with another episode of Kentuckiana Sports Talk. And then not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday, we got the Kentuckiana or the coaches show at McDonald's. We'll hear from Coach Dean down at Eastern and Coach Hartsfield at Salem and Coach Bowsman out at West Washington. Here with the Musketeers, the Lions, and the Senators have going on this year, what they expect for the season, who's coming back, and just ready to get the season started here on football craze to WSLM. We got you wall-to-wall covered. Blair's going to give you a little Michigan from his angle. I'm going to give you a whole lot of Louisville. Wherever I'm at, you're going to hear about the Cardinals. I promise you that. And we got IU and Purdue. Purdue, by the way, little Cardinal love up there with Coach Brohm. And see how the Trinity, they got the top receiver in the country, one of the top players in the country, from Louisville, playing at Purdue this year. So, yeah, I'm sure he'll find his way on the field in that Brohm-coached offense. So, we'll be hearing about the Boilers. And so, you got – who else was mentioned? Anybody that we didn't
– Pam Williams, who we both – we coached her son, and she's seen her fair share of football. And, yeah, she had Coach Hartsfield number one, Brad Hamilton number two, Dylan Conrad number three, and Steve Malden as her alternate. So, you know, she's right there with a lot of us that agreed on that. Josh Green out of Campbellsburg, he had Landon McFeeters, Coach Hartsfield, Dylan Conrad, Ronnie Reagans, and then Ryan Tandy as well. So, you know, a lot of the similar, you know, Pat Schaus is a name that was brought up. He was obviously I didn't see him play, but he was on Coach Motzinger's team actually at Salem, and Coach Motzinger said that he was a good running back as well. So,
Coach Humphrey, when you were at Salem, was there a back on your all schedule who just kind of drove you all nuts that you just hated the game plan for, that you just didn't want to? Man, you hated the Friday night where he was on the other side of the field for you?
I think, you know, Brian Schroeder was a heck of a back.
First name that came up to me.
went to Central Michigan and played up there for 2 years and started immediately as a freshman. I mean, he was kind of a man among boys back there.
Yeah, you kind of forget about him. He went on to play D1 and didn't really – I think he played 2 years and then came back to the area. Wasn't really – you know, that I think a lot of people don't realize that the dream is to play college sports at that level, but then when you get there you realize it's kind of a full-time job. It's it's not the glitz and the glam that you think it is.
Right.
And if you're not going to go on to play in the NFL, maybe just get your education and come back home. But yeah, Brian Schroeder, he was a heck of a back there. I remember his freshman year, he bursted on the scene. And I was going to ask you this question, too. You think about – I remember when you talk about Brian, when Coach Motzinger, he was a head coach back then, and Jason was at North. And I said, Coach, when you're playing a former assistant, what's it like for you? Is it exciting? And Coach Motz says he hated it. The game week was tough because he just loves you guys so much. And he said he would just rather fast forward through it and move on to the next opponent. And how about for you when you look over there and it's R.J. Hartsfield or a Luke Dean or somebody like that who you just have known for so long, and or even a Jeremy Lowry who's a great friend?
You know, they're all those names you mentioned I have a ton of respect for, and they're all great football coaches. And, you know, I got to coach with Luke in 2014 at Charlestown. We won a sectional, and, you know, he does a great job. And, you know, it's kind of one of those things, we're all buddies until that week. You know, and I always make the comment, I'm a Salem fan except for 1 week out of the year.
Right.
Okay, and the same way with Luke, same way with Paoli, all those guys. You know, they're all great coaches, and I've learned things from them. And, you know, hopefully I'd like to think they've learned something from me. But, you know, they're great guys, passionate, and their teams are well coached.
All right.
Hey, well, Coach likes the Corden game now if it's down at Corden, because he gets all this food in the press box.
He gets the beef old Brady's.
So, you know, we may have to get some press passes if we go down to Corden, Coach. Hey, we get George and I up in that booth. We can have some chicken wings. That'd be a good day.
Well,
you know?
It'll be at Corden this year.
That's right. So we can get us some press passes down there, maybe.
Get
huh?
you some beef old Brady's.
Hey, you know that's a trick in the media, Blair, that you use too. You just drop that to Athletic Director Whedon about how Corden's press box is so next level.
Right.
Sometimes these local guys will say, hey, we don't like to be outdone. I always say, I tell people at North Harrison for basketball, man, their press box sometimes is off the chart, man. So then I go to the next game and, oh, you got what North Harrison has. Now you're better. So you get that meal there. That's good stuff. Coach, we want to thank you for coming in tonight.
For sure, yeah.
You had a long drive, and I know you've football is underway, so you took time out of your schedule. We appreciate it so much. I know the fans liked hearing about what the Panthers have going on, and they're rooting for you like you. I'm sure they're a Panther fan, as long as you're not playing the Lions or the Musketeers down in Pekin, those fans. We just want to see you do well, and we're rooting for you. Wish you well. And again, thanks for coming. We want to thank our listeners. Tune in next Monday night. Remember the Reds. Homer Bailey, maybe get a win here tonight. Blair, it's been fun.
Yeah, for sure. Can't wait till next week. Hopefully next week I can get my first win. We can talk about that from Saturday, hopefully.
Yeah, if he comes in, he'll bring his trophy maybe.
Yeah.
Pictures of the Battle of the Bridge trophy.
If not, we won't talk about it.
He's going up against some speed there from Louisville. I guarantee you those teams from across the river will be fast.
That's right.
If nothing else. So we want to thank you again. Thanks, Becky and Greg, for having us on Talking Sports in Washington County. Keep checking our Facebook, our Twitter pages, and keep listening to WSLM, your home for all sports in Washington County. Good night.
You've been listening to Kentuckiana Sports Talk on WSLM, 1220 AM and 97.9 FM. Join us next week for more sports talk about local, regional, and national sports. Be sure to call in on the KST Talk line at 812-883-3401. And between now and then, tweet your comments and questions to KY in Sports Talk or post them on our Facebook page at Kentuckiana Sports Talk. We'll have a question of the week, polls for you, and all the latest news and interviews with local and regional players and coaches. Join George and Blair next week on Kentuckiana Sports Talk.